Our Father, we thank you that you are so kind and loving. We thank you that you would hear even our prayers, that you would speak even to us. And so, Lord, please do speak. Please do show us the truth. Please do remind us of what you have done for us in Jesus. It's for his sake that we pray. Amen. Am I good enough? There was once a girl in Geelong who tried really hard to be. She was scared of doing or saying the wrong thing, and so she would rarely speak, ever. She'd do what she was asked. She spoke to the kids at school that no one else would speak to. She'd do the jobs that no one else wanted to do. She was vice captain of her primary school. She was a good student. She wrote Christmas cards to her entire year level so that no one would feel left out. She went to church with her mum, even though she hated it. She was polite and softly spoken. Everyone loved her, and she was always trying to please everyone. She sounds pretty good. But was she good enough? Maybe you'd think she was good enough. You wish that your kids were a bit more like that instead of the outright rebellion that you experience. But was she good enough for God? When she was in high school, she became a Christian, but she didn't really understand what it meant at the time. It wasn't until she went to uni and joined the Christian club there that she finally began to understand how good that she would actually need to be so that she could be good enough for God. And it wasn't until then that she really understood the love of God, who loved her even though she wasn't good enough. Are you trying to be good enough for God? Then this is the story for you. In Luke 18, verse 9, Jesus is surrounded by friends and enemies. He's busy teaching and answering questions. And he's noticed that there's a certain type of person with him. It says there in verse 9, he spoke this parable to some who trusted in themselves, that they were righteous and despised others. Have you noticed that tendency in yourself to look down on others who don't do the good things that you do, who don't vote for who you do, who aren't polite like you are? Here's a parable for all of us. He introduces us to two characters who couldn't be more different. Two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee, and the other a tax collector. First, we have a Pharisee. A Pharisee was highly religious and very respected in Jewish society. That sounds very foreign today, doesn't it? Everyone in the Jewish culture was impressed by their devotion to God and their devotion to keeping the law of God. And in this story, even the Pharisee is impressed with himself. Look at verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank you that I am not like other men, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this tax collector." First, he's impressed that he is not like those sinners. He thinks he's good enough because he's compared himself to the people around him. He can see the sin, the bad stuff in others, and so he's self-satisfied. Instead of looking in a mirror, he looks at others and he sees their faults, and he never considers his own. This is very much a trap that people fall into today. When we're asked whether we think that we're good people, we're quick to think of others who are worse than us. If we're asked whether we think we're good enough for heaven, we're tempted to point out the evil that we don't do. Well, I've never killed anyone. I don't hurt people. Our bar for being good is extremely low. As long as we haven't done anything too bad, then we think we're fine, that God will accept us. We think that it's easy to be good enough for God. The Pharisee is impressed that he's not like those sinners, and second, he's impressed with all the good things that he's done. Verse 12, I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess. He actually does more in those areas than the law commands. They were only told to fast once a year. He fasts twice a week. Only certain crops were supposed to be tithed, but the Pharisees would tithe, that's give a tenth of, their garden herbs. You can imagine them working diligently in their garden to collect their rosemary, to give that to God. This is your typical religious attitude. Doing as much as you can, trying as hard as possible to be good enough. The Pharisee looks at himself, he sees what he isn't, and he sees all the religious things that he has done, and he is satisfied. He thinks that he is good enough for God. He is what God is after. Now, the tax collector was a different story. Where the Pharisee was well respected, tax collectors were hated. We might not like the tax man in Australia, but in ancient Israel, it was another kettle of fish. These tax collectors didn't just take tax, they took tax for the Roman occupiers. They were traitors. And to make matters worse, they'd take more than they needed and keep what was left over, the extra, for themselves. And this guy isn't under any illusions that he is good enough for God. He knows he isn't. We see his prayer in verse 13. And the tax collector, standing afar off, would not so much as raise his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here is a guy consumed with guilt. He sees his sin and he knows there's no point trying to make up for it with good works. Even if he started to fast twice a week, that would never make up for the things that he has done. He knows that he is guilty against God and against the people that he has cheated. He is consumed with shame. So much so that he won't even lift his eyes to heaven. He won't come close to the inner part of the temple. He knows he's not worthy. God is too glorious for him to survive. He doesn't dare to presume that he could even lift his eyes to him. He knows what he deserves, to be zapped like a fly on a bug zapper. He has no hope in himself. And because he's come to the end of himself, he comes to God with desperation and humility. He can't bring anything to God, nothing to make himself look better. He is filthy, wretched, unworthy, and he begs for mercy. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Now that word, merciful, is an important word in the original. It shows that the tax collector knows what he really deserves. You could translate that word as, turn your anger away from me. That's what sin deserves. God's anger. If God is going to be merciful, he needs to turn that anger aside. And this is where Jesus says something absolutely incredible. It is the sort of statement that would so shock everyone there that you'd be able to knock them down with a feather. Verse 14, I tell you, this man went home justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled. And he who humbles himself will be exalted. How could the tax collector of all people be justified and the Pharisee not? How could it be the tax collector who'd be declared righteous in God's eyes? To be declared innocent, good. How could it not be the tax collector, the Pharisee? Because the Pharisee, even though he looked better on paper, was just as far from God as the tax collector. He just didn't know it. He didn't think he needed mercy. He thought he was good enough. But those who exalt themselves will be humbled. Are you good enough to please God? It's a dangerous question. There are four main answers that people could give, and three of them are completely wrong. There's the typical secular Western answer, of course I'm good enough. God should just accept me. It's presumptive, and it doesn't ask the important question, the obvious question, how good is good enough for God? Like the Pharisee, we compare ourselves with others and we think we come out looking pretty good. They don't understand either God or themselves. They haven't looked at the Bible to see just how holy God is. He's the God who demands perfection. And that's a standard that we can't meet. Then there's the religious attitude. That person says, God might accept me if I try hard enough. This is the message we heard last week of the other religions, of Jehovah's Witnesses and Mormons. Those say that you need to believe in Jesus, but you also need to do good. It's the Roman Catholic message too. They say you need faith plus works. I've been doing some reading on the Freemasons lately, and they believe this. I read this teaching of theirs the other day. It said, by square conduct, level steps, and upright intentions, we hope to ascend to those heavenly mansions whence all goodness emanates. See, it's by what they do that they think that they can get into heaven. That's what their hope is in. If you believe you can try to be good enough for God, you'll never be sure that you're good enough. You'll never have assurance because your trust will always ultimately be on yourself. And if your conscience is working, you will always feel like you need to do more. Like the ruler, the rich ruler, later in this chapter, in chapter 18. He says that he's kept all the commandments. He says that. He hasn't really, but he says that. But he still feels like there's something missing. And there is. Because he hasn't kept the commandments. None of us have. In our third wrong answer, wrong attitude, you'll despair that you can't be good enough and so give up and think that God could never accept you. You're burdened by your sin and you elevate your sin and you minimize God's love and his willingness and his ability to forgive. Those are three wrong answers to the question, am I good enough for God? And so what's the right answer? What answer does the Bible want us to give? The right answer is to say, no, I'm not good enough. But Jesus is. Jesus came because we weren't good enough, and we wouldn't be, no matter how hard we tried. No matter how many times we go to church or read our Bibles or pray or give to charity or insert good action here, we aren't good enough. We don't deserve anything from God but his judgment and his anger. We are not good enough. But Jesus is. He lived the perfect life. He never did anything wrong. He's the only one in history that God could accept on his own merits. And the incredible news is that Jesus offers to everyone who would believe in him to take all of their sin, he take the punishment for us, and he would give us his good life. For everyone who trusts in Jesus, who begs for mercy like the tax collector, God doesn't see us as sinners anymore. He sees us as good. Not because we are good, but because Jesus is, and he gives us his goodness. Christians can have real assurance that God will accept them and has accepted them. Because being accepted by God has nothing to do with how good they have been. It's everything to do with Jesus. He did it all for us. For us to not have assurance. If we don't have assurance that we will be with God when we die, that means that our trust ultimately isn't completely in Jesus. We are still trusting in ourselves to be good enough. We think that we need to do it. We need to earn it if we don't have assurance. If you don't call yourself a Christian, this offer is for you. You don't have to keep trying to be good enough. You can't be. If you think you don't need Jesus, that you're fine without him, you are kidding yourself. Come to Jesus and, like the tax collector, beg for mercy, for his anger at your sin to be turned away. And if you do that, you will be made good enough because you'll be given Jesus' goodness. You won't be relying on yourself at all, but completely on Jesus. Now, if you do call yourself a Christian and you're tempted to say that you are a good person, you need to beware. It's our natural temptation to be like the Pharisee, to think that we can do it ourselves or with just a bit of help from Jesus. But nothing you do, nothing we do is ever good enough. We always need to be relying on Jesus. It's only because he is good that we can be saved. That God can look at us and be pleased. Here's the truth for all of us. You're not good enough for God. You're not. You're not good enough for God. I am not good enough for God. But Jesus is. And so trust in him. Let's pray. our Father and our God. Lord, these are hard words for us to accept sometimes. We like to think that we are good enough. We like to think that we can do it all ourselves, that we don't need help. We don't want to think that we are completely helpless and we need your grace. Lord, please show us our sin. Show us that we aren't good enough. Please tear away our pride at thinking that we can be good enough. And Lord, give us humility so that we would beg you for mercy. Lord, may we not be so proud as to think, Lord, I'm so glad that I'm not like that Pharisee. To make that same boast that the Pharisee himself made. Lord, remind us that we are just like the Pharisee. We are always tempted to think that we are better than we are. Lord, forgive us and open our eyes, open our heart. Give us assurance of faith. Remind us that it is by Jesus that we are saved, that we have been made acceptable to you. Lord, remind us of your grace every day, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen.